Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, and James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, found on pages 948 and 983 of your Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. If anyone among you sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is with you. It's wonderful to have you here this morning, and it's wonderful to see our young members of our church confessing their faith, receiving the waters of baptism, and then being called to that new way of life. This is an amazing day to witness this and to be part of it. And Peter, thank you for reading our scripture this morning. Today we pick up what I call the second to the last or the penultimate message in this series that we've been doing, talking about compassion and prayer and the healing touch of Jesus. And we are confessing that the ministry that Jesus started did not end when Jesus ascended, but Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon his apostles. He sent the Holy Spirit to his church, filling his church so that the church of Jesus can continue the ministry of Jesus that he had when he walked among us. We are the embodiment of Jesus' church, and we continue the works of Jesus. And so this sermon today is another step in lifting up that theme. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may hear it, read it, mark it, and learn from it and inwardly digest it, so that by patience and the comfort of your word, we may embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So this morning, I want to begin with an image. I want you to take a look at that image if you can see it. I want you to imagine a person, maybe even yourself this morning, strapped tightly to your shoulders is this backpack. And in that backpack, you are carrying some heavy, heavy things in your life. And for some people, as you see written on the stones, it could be fear, Anxiety, shame, grief, secret sins, illness. It could be regret. It could be so many things that we're all carrying. And the truth is, we feel the weight of that every day. But the challenge you and I face is that we don't feel we have permission, or maybe we lack the courage to show what's inside our backpack to others. And so we carry it alone. We carry it even as it's crushing us. And here's the irony. We think that we have it all covered. We think it's properly tucked away and no one can see it. No one is even aware of the troubles that are in our lives. And yet we fail to notice that people can see things about us that we can't see about ourselves. And they notice the look on our face. They notice the strain in our voice. They notice things about us that suggest we are going through something. They know something isn't right. But still, we continue to soldier on carrying that backpack. And why? Why do we do that to ourselves? Well, partly because of fear. We're afraid that if we were to admit that we have some issues and some weaknesses in our lives, we will come across as weak. And if you live in D.C., nobody wants to be seen as weak. But it could also be because of shame. We're ashamed of what's going on in our lives. We're ashamed of what's happening within our families. And if people were to know what's going on, possibly they would think less of us. And so we keep soldiering on with our own backpack, with the weight of the world upon us, crushing us. Years ago, I read about a psychologist who conducted an experiment asking people to hold a small weight in either hand, just a few pounds. And they stretched their hands out, holding that weight in their hand. And at first, it was really easy. Easy peasy, as the kids like to say. But after about 10 minutes, the people in the experiment, their arms began to quiver. And after about 20 minutes, the muscles began to burn. And the reality is the weight never changed, but their ability to carry it alone did. And that's the hidden burdens that you and I carry. And they don't disappear. But over time, they continue to drain us and drain us and drain us. And sadly, that's how many people live today. We bury our burdens. We hide our wounds. And even in the church, maybe especially in the church, we feel the need to present ourselves as complete. And this is the very place that God designed for healing. And so when we come to church, we feel that we have to smile and we have to pretend. And in some cases, as a pastor, I know of people who feel so broken by their experiences and their burdens that they feel they need to just stay away. And here's what we tell ourselves. After all, everyone has it together. Everyone is living their shiny, happy lives, and then there is me. And it's possible this morning I'm speaking to someone here, maybe someone who is watching online. You are carrying some heavy-duty things in your life. They're hidden. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has a different plan for you. God's plan is that we, the church, would carry each other's burdens, each other's wounds, and that we, the church, would pray for one another so that we might be healed. We, the family of God, together, celebrate the joy of a moment like this? Yes, but we also, as the church, should be together in pain and in sorrow and in failure. And that's what Paul is telling the church in Galatians. That's what James is telling the church in the letter to the churches. And that's what I want us to hear today, that God's plan is to heal us through prayer, through honesty, and through gentle restoration. And if there was ever a time when we needed this vision of the church as a healing community, it is now. These are difficult days. These are tough days. And this is the time when the church needs to come together and provide a place of healing for those who are struggling. Study after study tells us that loneliness and isolation are at crisis levels in our culture. The quote that you're looking at was from around 2022, I believe, by the then Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Vivek Murthy. And he declared that we are living in what he called an epidemic of loneliness. It is as dangerous to our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I'll never forget that quote. The rates of anxiety and depression, especially among our young people, they're at record levels. More and more men and women describe themselves as isolated. They describe themselves as unseen and overwhelmed. And yet, all of this is happening in the most hyper-connected digital age ever. People have numerous likes and friends on social media. They have people following them. And yet these same people report that on any given day, I feel very disconnected. I really couldn't pick up the phone and just call someone and speak to someone about what's really happening in my life. And so what do? We bury our burdens behind our screens and our smiles and the glowing pictures that we put up on social media. And we send the message, even if it may not be true, we send the message, I'm fine. But deep down inside, we are carrying a crushing load. We're worried, we're ashamed, we're in despair. But again, there's hope. Into this cultural milieu in which we find ourselves, God has placed the church. We're not a community of perfection. We're a community of presence. We're not here to judge. We're here to extend the grace of God. We're a family. That's what the church is, a family, where burdens can be shared and prayers can be lifted up and healing can begin. And I'm telling you, friends, the world is desperate for this. It's unfortunate that we also live in a time when the name church and the calling to be a Christian has been smeared and trashed in so many ways that people have given up on the church. But the world is desperate for this. And this is exactly what Paul and James are describing the church as a community where no one suffers alone. Now, I am a realist, and I accept the fact that we're all wounded. The person standing here in this pulpit, the people who are sitting in the pews, those who are watching us online, we are all wounded. We are all broken by sin in some way, shape, or form. I accept that, but here's what I also accept. I accept the reality of hope, the hope that we find in these verses that were read just now, that God, the Holy Spirit, through his people, are called to live and pray boldly and to carry each other's sacrificially. So let me quickly walk you through the message that I see in these two readings. The reading from Galatians is a message of gentle restoration. Paul is writing, you may not know this, he's writing to a very fractured church. The Galatians, as a church, they were biting and devouring each other. They were torn apart by their legalism and their spiritual pride. And it is in the midst of that that Paul says these words. He says, brothers and sisters. That's the language of family, right? If someone is caught, and the word there literally means to be trapped, you've fallen into a situation that is damaging for you, whether it's a sin or a habit, he says to the church, you who live by the Spirit. And if you read the chapter before that, Paul spent this extended time talking about the fruit of the Spirit and what it means to walk in the Spirit. He says, if you are spiritual people, you're living by the Spirit of God, then you should be the one who restores that person gently. And then he says, bear one another's burdens and you fulfill the law of Christ. And the word restore, it's a wonderful word. It implies this medical connotation. It implies the work of an orthopedist. But then on the other hand, it implies the work of someone who is mending nets. And you know the story in the Gospels when Jesus was walking along the seashore, he saw these two brothers and their father, James and John, they were mending nets. It's the same word for restore. They were restoring the nets. And Jesus said to them, come follow me. You're using your hands to mend nets right now, but I want you to follow me because I'm going to use those same hands to heal those who are hurting and broken. And that's what an orthopedic doctor does. When a bone is broken, the doctor carefully aligns the bone to bring healing and restore function. And the church is in the orthopedic business. We're not literally working with bones, but we're working with broken hearts and broken spirits and people who are weighed down by the troubles and the pain of life, and they need healing. And so this word of restore or restoration, it's not condemnation. It's not pointing the finger and say, well, I told you so. It's not getting on your high horse and acting as if you're holier than thou. It's not about superiority. Paul says, when you begin to restore someone, do it gently. And here's the reason why. Because my day might come, your day may come, and we will need someone to be gentle with us. Do it gently, because we're all prone to stumbling and falling. We all have areas of our lives in need of restoration. And so to bear another person's burden then is to come low, to humble ourselves, to stoop low and say, let me help you with this. Let me walk with you as you are going through this difficult time. And Paul says, when you do this, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. And I stumbled on that initially when I read that. I said, the law of Christ. And then it dawned on me that a few Sundays ago here at church, we were reading a passage in the New Testament where an expert in the law trying to test Jesus asked him, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And you have to understand, there are 613 laws and commandments, and he wants to know which one is the greatest. And Jesus says, what do you read? And the man answered, well, I think it is to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it is to love my neighbor as myself. That is the law of Christ. That when you restore someone who is wounded, someone who is hurting, someone who is in need, you are fulfilling the very law of Jesus Christ. You're loving your neighbor as yourself. Here's a second big idea from the second reading, and that is to pray boldly. Restore gently, pray boldly, and confess honestly. Now, James is writing to a different group of people. They're also just as broken, but they're broken in a different way. Did you know you can be broken by hypocrisy? Did you know you can be broken by anger, injustice, a lack of compassion? And so James asks the question to this rather broken church. He says, are any among you sick? He says they should pray. They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then he says these very, very difficult words, words that we would find hard to live into. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and it is effective. And so every time you pray for someone, and I urge you to do that, something happens. Because of how James understands healing, he has a more holistic view of it. It's not just a broken bone. It's not just a physical need for healing. James is understanding the spiritual dimensions, the emotional dimensions of the human person. And we also need that kind of healing, spiritual and emotional healing. James says, here's what you do. We anoint the sick, we confess our sin, and we lift up the weary. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, we just prayed a prayer of confession, and it's possible that's what he had in mind. But I also want to believe that the prayer of confession that is being called upon here is more, it's definitely more personal. It could be one-to-one. It could be three or four people together speaking openly, authentically about the state of life and what's happening. And so when you put Paul's words and James's words together, one is stressing gentle restoration. The other one is stressing bold prayer and honest confession. I see both of them agreeing. Both of them are essentially telling us that the church's business, the work of the church, is to be a community that promotes healing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a wonderful little book called Life Together. If you've never read it, borrow it from our library. But he says these words, listen to this, the more isolated a person is, the more destructive the power of sin over that person. But when sin is confessed, it loses all its power. Healing begins with vulnerability. And that's the hardest thing for us to do. To say that I'm struggling. Can you pray for me? I'm struggling in my marriage. Can you pray for me? I'm struggling. Henri Nouwen wrote the wonderful book, The Wounded Healer. And here's what he said. He says, ministers, and I had to qualify the word ministers because he's not talking about people in gowns with reverend behind their name. He's talking about people like you. If you care about people, if you are serving others, you are a minister. Ministers bring healing, not from their strength, but they bring it from their scars. Healing flows when we stop pretending and start sharing. Even storytellers like Tolkien understood this. Remember in his book where he talked about Frodo, crushed by the burden of the ring. And his friend Sam said to him, look, I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you. And to me, that's Galatians 6:2 in action, that the gospel then can be lived out in friendship. And here's the deepest reason why we carry each other's burdens, because Jesus Christ carried ours. And there's a verse in Isaiah that says this, surely Jesus has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. Imagine that. Jesus took on himself the ultimate burden of my sin, your sin, our shame, our burdens. He took upon himself, and through his death and his resurrection, he carried it all. But Jesus has given a job to the church. He's poured out his spirit upon us and empowered us so that we can continue that ministry of healing and lifting each other up. And so what does this mean for us? I believe that God is calling our congregation to continue being a place where burdens are not buried but shared. To continue being a place where confession is not shamed but is welcomed. And where prayer is not some perfunctory thing that we do, but it is the order of the day. It is the way we operate. It's powerful. And Bonhoeffer went on and he said that he who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. But it is the grace of the gospel which can be so hard for the pious to understand that confronts us with this truth. And here he says these words. He says, we are sinners. We are great and desperate sinners. Now come as the sinner you are to the God who loves you. And that's when the healing begins, when you are willing to admit that, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. I can't do it without you. The person filled with pride will never say that. And so we humble ourselves. And can you imagine a church where that was true? Can you imagine a church where addicts, and when I use the word addiction, I'm not just thinking of what's in the bottle, or what we're smoking, or what we're injecting. I'm thinking about addiction in all the possible ways that we in modern day America have become addicted. Can you imagine a church where addicts can confess without fear? Where the sick are prayed over and lifted up? Where the weary find brothers and sisters who carry that backpack with them? That's the vision that we see in our reading today. The wonderful news this morning is you don't have to carry your burden alone. You don't have to bury it in silence. You can bring it to the cross. You can bring it to trusted sisters and brothers right here in this community and in your small group and share it and receive the help and the support. In fact, today, if you're carrying a burden, whatever is in your backpack, we have a team of sisters and brothers here this morning who are ready to offer confidential prayer. These folks are Stephen ministers. They're deacons here at National. They'll be wearing a blue lanyard. And after the worship service, they'll be standing here somewhere along the front. Maybe you came with the burden. Don't leave with it. Come and receive prayer. It's not a sign of weakness. It's really a wise act of courage. You are inviting God's grace into your life through other people. You see, I believe, and I hope you believe the same with me too, that the church was never meant to be a museum. The church was never meant to be a museum for the strong. The church is a hospital for the broken. That's who we are. Brothers and sisters who have been wounded and broken, and we gather each week, we gather frequently to receive the grace and the healing that is found in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's people say, amen. Would you pray with me? And so, loving God, we thank you that you never meant for us to carry our burdens alone. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the prayers, the friendship, the grace, and the many ways in which you give us hope. Teach us now to be a people who lift up one another, who listen, who forgive, who restore. And Lord, as we go from here, make us instruments of your healing and your love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.